Welcome back to another episode of Peaceful Home Birth. My guest today comes on and shares his expertise about the sensory and nervous systems. This episode was so powerful as we discussed supporting your body during pregnancy to prevent sensory issues in your child, as well as what to look for in your baby and beyond for signs that their system needs support. Our bodies were designed by God to self-heal, and we are so connected, mind, body, spirit. This episode was so fascinating. But before I introduce my guest, I want to tell you about something super exciting that's coming. I'm looking for first-time home birth moms to be founding members of a new program I'm launching soon. This is for women who are interested in the one-on-one coaching I do, but at a lower price. When you sign up to be a part of this, you're going to be an integral part in making the program as valuable as can be. This will be an 8-week project in a group setting where I will take you through my proprietary biblically based framework that will take you from confused and fearful about preparing for home birth to confident and peaceful. This is a beta launch, meaning you will get a steep discount and it will never be offered again. So, to learn more about being involved, join the private Facebook group of Christian women searching to prepare for a Holy Spirit-filled peaceful home birth. Go to facebook.com/group/peacefulhomebirth or click the link in the show notes, and more information will be given over there. So, hurry up, join that group, and I'm so excited to get started with you guys. Well, let me introduce my guest, Dr. Andy. He graduated from Palmer College of Chiropractic in Davenport, Iowa in 2013. He married Kelsey in 2020, and they have three children, Kai, Remy, and a new baby on the way. Dr. Andy was a kid with sensory challenges himself. He had feelings of overwhelm, worthlessness, and frustration because it seemed he could do nothing right. He couldn't stay seated, struggled to focus, felt stupid, and was easily bored. This fueled his God-given passion to explain what is happening in the child's brain. He has so much knowledge and wisdom and that he has to share with us today. And I just know you're going to find immense value in this episode. So, without further ado, let's get into the show. Welcome to the Peaceful Home Birth Podcast, where your journey to a joyful and empowered birth experience begins. I'm your host, Allie McLean, a registered nurse, home birth coach, devoted wife, and proud mother to four incredible kiddos. I've walked the path from trauma to triumph, and I'm here to guide you every step of the way. At the Peaceful Home Birth Podcast, we're more than just a show. We're a community of dreamers, believers, and fearless mothers-to-be. If you're seeking to reclaim your birth story, to transform fear into confidence, and to embrace the beauty of home birth, you've found your tribe. My own transformative journey began with a traumatic C-section, propelling me on a quest to uncover the power of home birth. And now I'm on a mission to help you rise above your past, prevent needless C-sections, and stand firmly in the certainty of your dream birth. As a devoted follower of Jesus, I believe that his divine design for birth is inherently good. It is a reflection of his love, strength, and grace. If the dream of home birth has been planted on your heart, know that it's there for a purpose, and I'm here to stand with you as you pursue it wholeheartedly. In a world filled with racing thoughts and doubts, I'm your guide to taking those thoughts captive, making them obedient to Christ, and replacing them with the liberating truth. Together, we'll navigate the challenges that lie ahead, finding not only freedom, but also unbridled joy on your path to motherhood. This podcast is a haven for the woman who has faced the darkness of a traumatic birth and has questioned whether home birth is within her reach. Here we shatter those doubts. Join us for illuminating interviews with remarkable birth workers who share our reverence for the sanctity and splendor of birth. Listen to inspiring women as they recount their triumphant birth stories, each a testament to the strength that resides within you. So whether you're just starting to explore the world of home birth or you're already on this radiant journey, the Peaceful Home Birth Podcast is your sanctuary, your wellspring of knowledge, and your unwavering support system. Get ready to be inspired, to be empowered, and to embark on a path that leads you to the birth you've always dreamed of.
It's time to experience the Holy Spirit's power, to embrace the beauty of birth, and to create a legacy of love and strength. Are you ready to transform your birth experience? Let's dive in.
Welcome to the show, Dr. Andy. I'm so excited to speak with you today. I think this is a subject that is just starting to become more well known, and I know parents are interested in it. So this is going to be really great. But before we get in, would you just do a quick introduction and let us know who we're talking to today?
Absolutely. I'm Dr. Andy. That's what most of the kids and families know me as. I've been in practice since 2014. Always had a passion for kids and really finding answers for them with neurodevelopmental issues. And that looks like ADHD, autism, sensory processing, anxiety, really kids that are just really stressed out. I got pulled into that because, man, just hearing stories about kids not having hope, stories of kids that are on medications and what is the option to get off of them? Like, they're great to get us through something, but not good for an answer. So that's what got me into it. But surprisingly enough to me, was probably like 4 years ago, somebody asked me what my story was, and I told them, and I am the kid that I help now. I didn't even realize it. So yeah, I'm a chiropractor by trade, but we really focus on the sensory system and the power of allowing the body to work as God designed it, which is peaceful and joyful. So
I love that.
That's me.
That's what we have in common, is we both see the body as something that was beautifully designed by the Lord to work and to heal. And we just need the optimal environment to do that. And so I love talking to other people who have that framework as their worldview, because it really does form the basis on how we look at the world and what options we're choosing for our health and well-being. So for my listeners out there who are like, you know, I see that. I see your body was designed, you know, for optimum health. But how do I go about promoting that, especially during pregnancy, birth, and postpartum, right? So that's what we're going to be talking about today. And we're just going to start in the pre-pregnancy or pregnancy period. So would you just talk to us about the importance of what's going on with the mother pre-birth while she's carrying this baby, and some things that we can take with us to promote a healthy baby?
Absolutely. So we have to be careful that we don't get on too many crazy tangents here, because we definitely could go down those roads. But if you really think about it, the body was designed not only just to heal itself, but to adapt over time. And we are literally designed that way. You can't even like fight it. If you lift weights, what happens? You get strong every single time. So our body is designed to change over time. Now, when we're talking about really like even pre-pregnancy, man, the health of a mom's body on from a chemical state, a physical state, an emotional, spiritual state is so important, because that is the environment that is being laid, the groundwork that is being laid for a child, really from the cellular level, man, because that's what a baby starts out as, two cells that come together, and then this magnificent, amazing power that is inside of us multiplies that, knows what to turn all the organs into and the body and the shapes. And man, it's just so cool to think about development. So really, to keep it really simple, moms that want to, or women that want to become mothers, them spending time with the Lord, them spending time considering their belief systems that are stress responses and aren't necessarily healthy, choosing healthier foods, making sure that you are active in a healthy way. Those are just like the simple aspects. Chiropractic is a huge piece to that, because, and this will be a recurring theme in our conversation, Our office, we focus primarily on kids and restoring the calm in their nervous system, specifically their sensory system. But really, anybody who has a restored, calm nervous system now has the regulation, the ability to regulate things properly. So when we're talking about anxiety or high stress or ADHD, things like that, man, that is a body that is locked in a form of protection mode, fight or flight mode. It's hard to relax. There are a lot of factors that can be external, but if your nervous system is locked in that mode, the external factors don't really matter all that much. So in regards to pre-pregnancy, man, there's just so many things like acne, mood swings. There are, and you probably know this list better than I actually do, but having your period or your cycles regular, feeling not fatigued, feel it, being able to have the ability to feel calm. All those are signs that something is either going well or not going well. Are you broken? No, you're not broken. Your body is just under stress and needs to be pulled out of that. And it can be.
Yeah. So as you're talking, you mentioned nervous system and sensory system. So for my listeners, could you break that down? What is the difference between the nervous system, the sensory system? How do they relate?
Yeah, absolutely. And we could get super nerdy with all this stuff, but your nervous system is how your brain experiences things and reacts to things as far as regulation goes. The sensory system is the input to our brain. And the other half of the system is really that output. So when we move our arm, we had some sort of input that came into our brain that let us know that we have an arm. We can process it and then we can make our arm move. The focus that we really have in this topic that we're talking about that's really important is the automatic functions of our body. Those are extremely important because you don't have any like conscious control over those. So if they're stuck in stress mode, all your organs are stressed and they're just producing stress chemicals all the time, which is not an optimal place for our body to be living, for a baby to be growing in. Doesn't make birth easy. It doesn't make pregnancy easy. It doesn't help our kids grow and develop efficiently. And really with the nervous system, our brain regulates everything. So when we talk about body chemicals, or even if we talk about eating right or moving right, if our brain is not regulating things well, all those things become more difficult. That's the importance of that nervous system. But the sensory system is just so important because that is how our brain gets information to make decisions of how to run everything.
That's really good. Yeah. I remember learning about cortisol in nursing school and the detrimental effects that high levels can cause. And so what you're saying is that when our nervous system is activated on high alert, we're constantly under stress, those cortisol levels, that fight or flight hormones, like all of those are released by the nervous system. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. The neuroendocrine system specifically, because that neurology is regulating your hormones, which is your endocrine system. You have literally epinephrine, you have cortisol. Epinephrine is adrenaline, right? So if those aren't being regulated well, they're just going through your body at times that they necessarily shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. And that's tough. Most people get excited about this topic and they talk about exercise. They talk about foods that you're eating. And one thing that I personally, sorry if this offends anybody, but one thing that I personally do not get too caught up on is going down deep rabbit holes in all of those. Because if you talk to enough people, and this is very confusing in this world of health, but if you talk to enough people, you will hear 30 different diets, if not more, of what is healthy. And it's just a journey that you get to go on to explore what's healthy. Our office, we break it down simply Let's remove processed sugars because that's just not healthy. And food dyes and as many preservatives as we can. When we're trying to have a healthy diet, that's what we really focus on as a simple first step. So don't make it too complicated. Otherwise, you will either get lost down a rabbit hole and miss something important, possibly, or you'll just be stressing yourself out even more. I see it all the time.
Well, and that's the whole point too, is like when our system is constantly under stress, what we're doing isn't as effective as if we were just embracing and eating the foods that like feel good to us, right? So, oh man, from somebody who like loves to go down rabbit holes, what freedom it comes from like just focusing on that sensory input and like your nervous system and making sure that's healthy. So that the decisions you're making are good ones. So let's say this mom who's under a great amount of stress, she has just sensory overload, and her she's constantly just high alert. And then she's pregnant. So are all of these hormones and that neuroendocrine system, is that affecting her baby at all? And if so, what could that look like during pregnancy?
Oh man, we should have my wife in here right now because we're about a month and a half away from having a baby, and she is pretty stressed out at the moment. We have two kids. We have a 2-year-old and a 1-year-old. As much as it pains me to say, it's 100% affecting our child who is not born yet. And that's because, just to give a little bit of neuroanatomy real quick, the first thing to develop is the brain and the spinal cord. Those are the first cells that actually form into something recognizable for us. And they are constantly assessing the environment and programming and wiring and then responding. So from like the very, very beginning, that's already happening. So if there's a lot of stress, kids are going to be in that just they're going to be responding to that environment. They're going to be in air quotes the war zone from get-go. Now, I don't want to like freak anybody out because it is kind of freaky or can be kind of freaky, but don't let that stress you out anymore. Just understand how it's working and that God made our body to know peace and joy. God made our body to heal, self-regulate. So as not optimal as that is to be in a stressful experience, guess what? You can't control all the stress. We couldn't control that our son was up last night until 2 a.m. yelling and screaming, and he's 1 year old. He ate something that just really did not sit well in his stomach. And so he didn't feel good. We were both at our limit. That is 100% truth right there. And we were losing it. But man, it's more important that we're just aware of how things work so we can make as many good decisions as possible. Can you ask a more specific question related to that for me?
So, well, on that note, I guess what I want women to hear, I think of it personally because I had a COVID baby. So I'm really curious if you're seeing like 2 and 3 year olds who went through that time that are having a little bit more sensory issues than maybe you've seen in the past. No, for me, I was under so much stress o over what was going on in the world, and I can look at my children and see a difference. So I'm really curious if in your practice, you're seeing an increase at all.
Absolutely. So a year after all the COVID craziness, we'll call it, I did a amazing continuing education webinar. She's phenomenal. She's so good with research and everything. And that generation that you're explaining is labeled the COVID generation because there was so much stress that mom was under. And all the little kids were under, man, they literally were born and were raised in this experience that nobody in our generation has experienced anything like that, where it's, at least in America, where it's just massive fear all the time, unknown, uncertainty all the time. And none of us, I mean, we grow up in pretty cushy homes for the most part. Even hard homes are better than a lot of places in the world. So our ability to handle that experientially is pretty low. So just the stress response that those kids had to experience, man, the amount of depression, the amount of anxiety, the amount of autism, the amount of ADHD, all of those sensory processing things that look like a brain that's overwhelmed, those are much higher. And it's sad to say, but I have a job for a long time.
Wow. That is, yeah. I mean, that is sad, but also I'm very thankful for what you do. So let's yeah. say there is a mom right now who is like, ooh, I just had the, you know, a really, really hard pregnancy. I was really stressed. What should she expect? Like, or what could she be doing right after birth in order to yeah. help her baby adapt?
Man, the first thing that's in your control, and a lot of moms would probably argue it's not in their control because of postpartum stuff, but the number one thing that's in your control is your environment and your belief system and the amount of effort that you can put into be peaceful and relax. Now, if your child is really, really struggling, I would encourage intervention pretty quick. Colic, ear infections, constipation, diarrhea, getting sick often, like anything that looks like their body is getting worn down or not functioning properly, go to a chiropractor. In general, chiropractic is good. But if you're able to specifically find somebody who has pediatrics in their background or focuses on that, or even better, has sensory scanning equipment, so we're actually measuring something. So I just kind of gave you the depth of, if you don't have anything, find a chiropractor. If you don't have, or if you have chiropractors around, a lot of them, find somebody who has pediatric experience. And if you have a lot of pediatric chiropractors around, which some places are fortunate to have that, I would suggest finding somebody with that sensory scanning equipment so we can measure when that is corrected. Because the cool thing about the body is when that sensory system is corrected, it stays corrected. Like that stress response, that protective response, that's kind of like a reflex that gets stuck. Man, when we break that, it doesn't come back. We've literally never seen one come back in 10 years. Now, it doesn't mean a new trauma couldn't come along and lock a kid into that fight or flight or protection mode again. But man, once it's cleared, it's crazy. So cool that it's just clear and they just get to live in that. So that's what we're talking about as far as like what a child could do immediately. Anything a parent can do to take their child, think of them like a boiling pot, like anything you can do to take them away from the heat and let them know peace and joy to whatever extent you are able to, is going to be very, very helpful. Because even with a proper functioning nervous system and sensory system, you're allowed to get overwhelmed. It's how God designed us. It's how we experience our world. If something's really overwhelming you, we want our kids to be able to explain that. This works the same for moms and dads as well. We are driven by our sensory system. If something smells too crazy or it's too loud or it's too bright or internally we don't feel right, we don't act the same. We don't think the same. We don't feel the same. Like we just, we don't feel good. And it makes it hard to have social relationships. It makes it hard to feel okay. I remember when I had a lot of sensory processing issues as an adult, and it started at a very young age for me. But as I had them as an adult, there was a point where my system was so out of control. I was having panic attacks every single day for like 2 years. Every day I thought I was going to die. I knew I wasn't in my head, but my body told me something different. You can't outthink how your body feels. And that's a very real thing. I remember going to my medical doctor at the time and I'm like, I have to have cancer or something. Like, can you run labs? Like, I don't know what's going on. They ran labs and they just told me that it was growing pains, which doesn't even make sense. but they didn't know how else to help. So I was just living in this massive overwhelm. And what's cool now is we have a voice, we have the internet, we can share podcasts, we can share our experience, we can share on social media. You don't have to live that way. That's not real. That's not how we were designed. If you're feeling that before birth, while you're pregnant, your birth is going to be a lot harder. You're going to be in stress mode. You're not going to be relaxing your body. And that's the fun thing about home birth. I know that our first child, Kai, would have been a C-section in a hospital, guaranteed. She's awesome. Everybody loves her wherever she goes. She's two now. And she's just sweet. She's got some spice to her, but she's sweet. And we've just done everything we can to pull the stress off of her. She had like 5 hours of active labor pushing really hard. And she had the cord actually wrapped around her shoulder. And we had a home birth. And so we were just chilling, being patient. And she came out. Now, was it intense? Absolutely, right? But we know that we didn't have a lot of those extra interventions trying to force the process and freaking out about it. Now, is it important to pay attention? And you guys probably talk about this all the time on here. There are things that you want to pay attention to, right? Home birth is beautiful, but it's still a birth. It's still a really intense experience for mom and baby. So it's good to pay attention to all those health signs and everything. And Kai was doing great. Kai was just stuck.
Yeah,
So,
birth is made to work. So
yep.
most of the time when we leave it alone, it does. My son also had his cord wrapped up around his body and around his neck, and it does. It takes a long time for that baby to come down. But I think that brings up something interesting to think about and talk about is the difference between a vaginal birth and a C-section birth. Why does that matter? Also, even if you did have a super straightforward birth, labor, or maybe you did push for a while, could you talk about some things that could happen during labor that may be causing some misalignment that would lead to sensory issues? Can you just talk about the mechanics a little bit of that?
Well, it's funny that you say mechanics because mechanics can play a part, but really more so, we're concerned about the body getting locked in that fight or flight position. Because we aren't like when we're adjusting a baby, it's not popping and cracking and twisting or anything. It's literally turning the brain back on so it can see these different areas of the spinal cord so that it can relax and it can actually open up its, the brain can open up its function. It's wild. I want to share this and then I'll go into what you're talking about. I was in a conference today with an awesome guy who runs a huge foster care network in Omaha. It's the only Christian one. He's such a great dude, but he brought up the fact that every 3 seconds our subconscious is asking, am I safe? So that's our neurology asking that question all the time. So that's how important this really is. And there's a study in 2018 that talked about in the first year of life, that is a massive growth period for the area of our brain that forms the prefrontal cortex. The cerebellum is being formed and created at that time too. But prefrontal cortex has like, it's a pretty common thing for people to learn about. And if you haven't learned about it, man, it's something to look into. But that's movement control, pain processing, executive functions like working memory, self-monitoring, task initiation, flexible thinking, planning and prioritizing. It has to do with emotional health, and mental health, impulse control, neuroendocrine functions like we were talking about, inflammation levels, empathy, immune system function. So it has so much to do. And that is that first year is such a crazy time when that stuff develops. So if there is an issue, the faster we can address this, the less likely it is that our child will struggle with things like sensory processing issues. So yeah, what we specifically are looking for is an area along the spine that has gone into this protection mode that tenses down, that is trying to literally protect. When we go in protection mode as a mama bear, we're not relaxed, right? We're tense. So in the birth process, we want to ask, what is the baby's position? If the baby's in a weird position for a long time, it's just like having bad posture and sitting there for a long time. Eventually you're like, oh man, I am sore, I need to stretch. But if baby's stuck in that position for a long time, or a long enough time where it irritates them, they can now have an issue from that. During a beautiful birth, I mean, I have no place to speak here really other than what I've seen, but even like a simple, straightforward birth, is that intense? Do you need to heal from that still? Yeah, there's a lot that goes on there. So it's good to get checked even after that, as a baby, because there's a lot of functions that happen there with the pressures of actually birthing the child through the vaginal canal. If you have interventions, they often grab the head, they grab the shoulders, they pull a kid out, however it is. I had the blessing to watch an actual OB training video years ago. I was amazed and appalled at the same time. The video I watched, the trainer was like, now do not grab the head and twist like that. Or like, don't mess with this area, grab right here. And it was just like an inch different. And he's like, and then pull and twist. And I was like, no, don't pull and twist at all. Like the body, and you guys have probably talked about this. Like there's that.
So cringy. It is so cringy. And I've seen it so many times that I have secondary trauma from it. Like,
Well, and then I have so much compassion for them because that's what they learned.
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree with it. I don't think it's good, but I have compassion for them because they're doing the best that they have learned how to function. It's just bad. It puts the kid in a precarious position and exposes them to possible injury with their spinal cord. That doesn't mean the kid is going to necessarily be paralyzed or anything like that, but that affects the sensory system and the brain can't see what's going on. And now the kid is oversensitive to everything or a lot of things. So that can happen in that whole process. One of my favorite stories is my mentor who's in Chicago. When I first heard his story, his son, they did everything that you could do possibly right. They had a home birth. She was on her hands and knees. The baby came out, but just slipped through his hands.
Oh no.
And landed on the bed. So like nothing like super crazy, but landed in a way on his head that they had to go to the emergency room. And so his son ended up, this sounds so bad, but home birth is not dangerous and crazy like this, but this happened. Okay. But this is the beauty of how the body was also designed if something like this were to happen in the hospital or not in the hospital. But he bumped his head, nothing super crazy, but it was enough to cause his brain to have a lot of overwhelm. They were afraid for how he was going to develop. He was in the NICU for quite a while. But what's really cool is he knew the body was designed to heal itself. The body was designed to self-regulate, and he did not stop. He kept checking his son. He kept working on his son, doing everything that he knew how to do. They were being told all these scary, terrible things. Basically like your son is going to be a potato and not ever going to be able to function and all this stuff. His son is in high school now. He's a state cross-country runner. He has friends. He does good in school. He doesn't have any deficits that you would look at and like think there's something wrong with him, because we were made to heal and self-regulate. So even if scary things or overwhelming things happen, I don't care where they happen, because they can happen anywhere, man, just know that correction is possible.
Yeah. That is so powerful because when I'm talking to moms, so many of their t of the time, they're just afraid. They're afraid of the unknown. They're afraid of all the what ifs, you know, and we can live our lives in a way of constant stress, constant fear of the what ifs. But when you have that baseline beliefs, you've brought this up many times as we've been talking, is like your belief system is really important, like that peace and that joy. But when we choose, like when we choose to have beliefs that are based in fear, it can impact so much of our lives. And so this story is such a testament to like when you have the basis belief that our body was created to heal, our body was created to function properly and to be in a state of peace and love. Like, we are going to pursue things differently than just accept a doctor's diagnosis as is. Who knows? I mean, I hear these stories all the time and I get so worked up about this, but who knows what would have happened if you just would have been like, okay, doctor, I trust you. Like, you're probably right. That son probably would have had a much different outcome. And so if my listeners hear anything from this episode, I hope you hear this, is like there is hope. There are things that you can do. Our body is designed so amazing by a good father who cares and loves for you, loves you, and there's so much hope. So I'm thankful for the work that you do because it does. It's like a step in hope. Like we have things that we can do, and that's so powerful. So it's amazing. Yeah, I just love that.
Can I share one of my favorite stories? This is an extreme story, but one of my favorite stories that we have walked through at our office.
Okay, and now it's time to share one of my sponsors with you. After my first birth, which ended in a traumatic C-section, I started researching literally everything, including things that go in and on me and my family's body. I started getting rid of everything, first starting with cleaning products and then over-the-counter meds. But makeup has been the hardest thing for me to replace. It seems as all the natural makeup is in powder form, and with the type of covers that I like, it just was not cutting it. That's when I found Araza Beauty's all-in-one coconut cream foundation. This foundation actually improves my skin while providing sun protection and, of course, even coverage. With a dewy finish, almost like a BB cream, it's perfect for everyday wear. Plus, it's packed with ingredients like jojoba oil, probiotics, antioxidants, and zinc oxide, which provides SPF 28 coverage. I also love that Araza Beauty is a woman-owned and dedicated to giving back to victims of domestic violence. I feel great about supporting this company, which makes its super luxurious makeup even more satisfying. Now, I recommend with starting with the foundation. See what I did there, foundation? You won't regret it. Just to make it easier for you, Araza is giving my listeners a special discount of 15% off. So go to arazabeauty.com and use the code EMPOWEREDBIRTH at checkout.
We had a mom come to our office with her son, and he was a little guy, and he was in his car carrier, and just kind of his head was just going back and forth, and he's going, and that's about all he could do. He had seizures about every 10 minutes, if I remember right. And it was a genetic disorder. Mom was at our office and she was like, I don't know why I'm here. I'm like, I don't either. Let's figure it out. Like, let's talk about what's going on and what we understand we can help with. So they were told really that there's no medications or any surgeries that they can really do. They don't know anything about this genetic disorder, really. It's very, very rare, but it causes the brain to not produce calming chemicals. I'm a pretty bold person, especially when I really know truth. And I told them, you know what? I know they're trying their best, but I can promise you that's not true that his brain can't produce calming chemicals, because if that was the case, he would be dead, because you can't live only with stress chemicals flooding your body. There's always a pendulum going back and forth. And the fact that he was alive and functioning, not connecting with mom and dad really at all, but alive and functioning, told me that that was going on. So that's what I said. So, and let her know. Hopefully that was helpful to her at the time. But then I told her, let's do the scan that we do, and it'll tell us how his brain, whatever level of capacity is there, let's see how well his brain can actually regulate things. Like, how is that system, that sensory system, and that system of telling his body what to do? We did a scan, and it was a pretty extreme dysfunction, meaning it, and that's a really good thing, actually. Because meaning he may have this genetic disorder that lowers his potential to have a high quality of life, but the way his function was even lower because of that. And I know we can restore how that function is. I'm like, man, we have nowhere but up to go from here. So this is really good. So we had, I believe, a 7-month plan, if I remember right. It was long, but we got done early. And by the time we were done, he was working on sitting up. He was smiling at his mom and dad. He was connecting with his mom and dad. His seizures went from all the time down to about, if I remember right, this is a couple of years ago, like 7 seizures a day now, which is a big change. And at our office, we're very specific. We don't just stop there. So once a scan is clear, that's amazing. It means the neurology is good. But how do we get sick? How do we get overwhelmed? There are life factors too. Also, there's training that the brain might need to have. There's functional medicine. There's functional nutritionist. There's craniosacral work. There's occupational therapy. There's psychologists. There's all these other professionals that may need to help. So our goal is to help connect people to the right next step as well. So fun fact, about a month ago, I think it might be 2 months now, that mom posted on social media that her son has now gone a year seizure-free.
Are you kidding me?
Is that not insane? And they were told that this is a genetic disorder, and it's likely just this is the way it is. And she attributes a lot to what we did. We aren't magic. We just allow the body to work right. And I never cap that hope. I don't know. So I'm not going to promise hope, but I know and promise that we can get it corrected. I just don't know where what that's going to look like. And so that boy, again, another example of a child that could have literally had zero quality of life. He just freaking walked on his own. I
That's
saw that video and I just started crying. I'm like, a year seizure free. Just walked, never was supposed to be able to walk or crawl. Like, he couldn't even crawl or like even flip over when they came in. And this is not that long ago. So it wasn't like 10 years down the road, he's finally able to walk. It's probably like 2, something like that. And it's just so cool because that same mentality you're talking about, she's a believer. She prayed over her son all the time. And I'm not saying that people that pray over their kids and they don't see changes. And that is a rough place to be. But when we know that God made the body to heal and God made the body to self-regulate, and he is a good father and wants us to live in close, like loving relationship with him, man, when we pursue everything through that, it is such a freeing place of so much opportunity
Yeah.
instead of just this is the way it is.
Yeah. It's hope. Like, that's what I've been hearing this whole interview is just there's a theme of hope. And it's if we cap that, if we say, you know what, like my genetics say that I'll never, whatever, like that is such a limited belief. And what is coming out in science now is finally matching the truth. Like, if you we want to go into epigenetics, like, that's, you know, that's showing us like genetics aren't the end all be all. I mean, just a quick story on that. Like, I just got some genetic testing and I had like factor five lead and whatever. And I have according to whatever that says, is like, oh, I would have severe clotting. I would probably not be able to get pregnant. I would just, have all of these issues. And TFHR, like both of them, both whatever. And it's like, if I base my truth, like the hope and the my reality off of just what genetics say, like I'm totally minimizing the power of the Lord and like what he can do in so many areas of life. He's so much bigger than genetics because he made them. So he ultimately is our final say in everything. And so yeah, I just hear a theme of hope through this. And that's just amazing. It's really, really encouraging. So yeah, what should moms be looking for? What's an indication? Let's say they've had their baby, they're now in the toddler years, they kind of miss that first year range of, ideal time to be seen. What could they be looking for in their toddler that indicates a need to have some sensory work done?
Well, first off, I want to just drop some more hope and let people know that I didn't get help till I was 27. That's really when I got freedom from my sensory system, or really began getting freedom from my sensory system and allowing it to work properly. And so I had gone through lots of school. I was in trouble a lot. Honestly, I don't even know how many recesses I got to go to in first grade. It wasn't very many, though. Which is the opposite of what I needed, right? But getting in trouble, not being able to sit still, not being able to listen. Like if a kid seems like they're not able to hear you, they probably don't have like an, or you could get it checked out. Let me say that. You get their ears checked out. And if that says everything's working right, it's a sensory processing thing. Their brain has like 10,000 thoughts in it, and your voice is not one of them really, or it's one out of 10,000, right? If kids can't make eye contact with you, if developmentally you see them skipping milestones, if you see them going really fast and then really slow, if you see that just irregularity there's usually an issue. If they had capabilities and they lost them, like speaking or engaging with eye contact, and they lose it, those are all pretty intense examples sensory wise. And it's fun when I really get to have these really good conversations. But sensory wise, it's usually very, very influential in speech. And if you are getting told that occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech, and you're already on, like your kid is just a couple years old and you're already on the path of therapies, you can do them. They're not going to be bad for your child. But if you don't correct the sensory system first, your child's brain is going to be really stressed out. And when our brain is stressed out, it doesn't learn very well. It doesn't assimilate those therapies as well as it could. So what ends up happening a lot in our office is we see kids a little bit older than that who just have struggles. Mom and dad have done so much work already. And this is just what we really focus on in our office. But mom and dad have been told they need to do a lot of work, or they do a lot of work and they still see struggles and they're frustrated because they just spend a lot of time, money, and effort, and there's still struggles, or they're plateauing in therapies. So they come into our office, we clear their sensory system. Now they have freedom to do those therapies again if they need them. And then boom, 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 excel in those therapies because the brain wants to learn now. You absolutely can get that sensory system checked out before you see any struggles or before you do a lot of therapies. And in my opinion, that is the way to go because it just clears the nervous system and the brain for proper function. I got stories for days, so we could be on here all night sharing really cool stories. But yeah, that prefrontal cortex is super important. The cerebellum is super important. And that's what specifically what we clear. OTs, occupational therapists, they love us when we have conversations with them. I have so much fun with that because they measure how functional the internal sensations of the body are because those actually drive pretty much everything our brain does. They're like the main highway, proprioception and interoception. Those are the main highway to our brain. Then our five senses are just like on ramps, if you're thinking of like a highway analogy. But occupational therapists, they are so good at measuring the functionality of those internal sensations. They are terrible at correcting it. They just don't have the tools. They don't have the skills, and they are aware of that. They can give you coping mechanisms and ways to deal with it, of an oversensitive system, but they can't correct it. We correct it, and then they just have all the tools to just crush it. And it's amazing how well the body can and brain can shift into that calming, focused mode after that. There's another thing. Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to say. If people are interested in epigenetics, Bruce Lipton is the man. That guy is such an amazing communicator. It's like just blows my mind how good of a communicator he is. He's known as the father of epigenetics. So worth checking out. He's just such a humble, amazing guy.
That's really great. Well,
Yeah.
I'm leaving this interview feeling very hopeful.
Good.
Talking to you, I feel like it reignites that passion and that belief that and the thankfulness of how our body was created.
Yeah.
And I feel like when you can go through life with that being your base belief, and then we hear stories of that to reinforce, how much hope can we go about in life like overflowing with joy
Yeah.
and love? That's the way I want to live my life, and I'm thankful for people like you who help us do that. So, thank you for taking time. And is there any last thoughts that you would like to leave my listeners with tonight?
Just to reiterate the same thing I've said, hope is real. Being fulfilled in Jesus and knowing that God loves you so much gives you that hope. It gives you a strong foundation. It makes your relationships easier, and just more clear. You can just function so much better because you need nothing from people. You need nothing from the world, and you're just able to give. And moms, well, moms and dads, but it just looks different. But moms are usually the ones who are just really burnt out and tired from having kids pull on them a lot. That's probably the main reason my wife is as tired as she is right now. And dads are the same way, except not getting pulled on necessarily, but we carry a big weight. A lot of the time that we can just be free from. So that belief system is huge. Our body's made to heal itself. And the more you learn about science, the more it proves God's existence, the more it proves that we are meant to be functioning well. And if that's not the case, message me, Radiant Life Omaha. Find me on social media. Message me and ask me questions. I don't even care what it's about. I will get back with you or message Allie, man, we're here to help you guys have hope and direction. Hope is great. It can help you find direction, but if you have guides in your life that can help you expedite that process, it's a beautiful thing. And you have a course that you help with women, right? What is that again?
I have the Peaceful Home Birth program. So I help people find hope and direction in how to have a peaceful home birth. And I like how you've been saying that word all night is like peace really does make a difference when we're, making big decisions, and especially when they're countercultural. I mean, home birth is countercultural, chiropractic is countercultural, living a healthy life is
It's
countercultural.
countercultural. Yeah,
So
absolutely.
sometimes we just need people in our lives to, push us in that direction in a loving way and help us get there with our thoughts, our beliefs, and then our everyday decisions. So,
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really important. How can my listeners get in contact with you? I know you said message me. Is there any other like social media that you can direct them to?
Yep, so Radiant Life Omaha on Instagram. Facebook is a little less active, but we do post on there. We are starting to post on TikTok some more, but Instagram and Facebook are probably the easiest ways. If you cannot or do not have social media, which I understand lots of people are in that boat, check us out at radiantlifeomaha.com. You can send us a message. And like I said, message me about anything. If it's related to the body working right, I bet I have a resource that I can point you to. So, and if it's a kid, if you're around Omaha, Nebraska, and you have a child or you know people that are struggling with their child, man, give us a call. We are people have tried chiropractic before, or they have a chiropractor that they really like. Cool. If you're struggling though, like come get a scan, come see what it's like. And what's fun about that is we clear scans. We're clearing that sensory system. And then we encourage people to go back to their chiropractor that they love for their lifestyle care or maintenance care, whatever they are excited about. I mean, we aren't trying to steal patients or anything. It's just really important. We're the only ones who do this. We're the only ones who are really the best at this. So if we need to work, we need to work. And it's about the quality of life more than anything else.
Yeah, you're very, very specialized. And I think that that is what sets you apart. And I mean, there is a certain people group and certain demographic that really needs what you guys do. So, yeah, I will put all of those links in the show notes below. So make sure you check out Dr. Andy. And thank you so much for your time and for your wisdom and just sharing that with us.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, and thanks for doing everything that you do for moms and ultimately families, giving kids a great opportunity to succeed from a very early age. I'm excited about that.
Thank you. I hope you loved today's episode and found it so helpful and encouraging. If you did, would you take 30 seconds to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or send this episode to a friend who has been praying for a peaceful home birth? Lastly, make sure you get my free download of my complete home birth essentials checklist. Make sure you have everything ready to go so you're able to feel at peace and confidence leading into your home birth. This printable checklist has all of the important but less glamorous or thought of items that I have found to be so incredibly helpful to have at a home birth after working with many clients in person. Now, get it by clicking the link in the show notes. And as always, thanks for listening and peace be with you.